Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We're going to start a new sermon series this morning, and I'm going to start by giving a little backstory to the things that are going to happen in Nehemiah and his life. And I hope that that will help us to get a good picture of how God works in our lives when we seek after him and love him. And my prayer really for this sermon series is to just show us, and hopefully that God speaks to us in a way that we love him like Nehemiah loved him, that we seek after him every single day, that we spend time with him in prayer, and that we're able to move forward in strength like he moved. And I'm going to take just this sermon here today and just give a little bit of the backstory and then the beginning part of what started to happen with Nehemiah. And so I'm going to start in Deuteronomy 30, and here we have God talking to the people of Israel, and he's brought them out of captivity. He's bringing them out of captivity. He's sending them out to the promised land. He's saying, you are my people, and I'm going to take care of you. And please, if you would, just follow my will, spend time with me, love me, and really allow yourself to walk with me, and I will take care of you. I will keep you all the days of your life. And we see because of Nehemiah that that didn't happen, and then 10, 11 books in between Deuteronomy and Nehemiah where there's all kinds of stuff happening that we see that we as humans tend to not be as faithful as God is. Because God's always faithful. He's always true. He's always for us and wants to redeem us. That's who our God is. He's a redeemer. And he wants to redeem us, no matter if it's the first time or the fourth time that he is coming after us and says, I want you to be a part of my family. I want to be in relationship with you. And not only that, I want you not to just have, you know, hey, I have a relationship with God and I have a decent life and I'm okay, but that I can move in you and through you and you can thrive. That you can move in my power, in my spirit, that you can change the world around you. That's what God has called each and every one of us to. Amen? Do you believe it? A few of you do, hopefully. A few more, or all of you actually, will believe that at the end of the sermon. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1, it says, now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. He's saying that I'm setting this thing before you, the blessings and the curse. He's saying, listen, there's something that you need to understand, that I'm for you and my blessings are for you, but also I've set before you this, I don't want to use the word ultimatum, but ultimatum, if you will, this statement saying that you need to follow me. He's going to say, I guess I probably should read the rest of the scripture. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. He's already brought them out of captivity. He's taking them into this promised land. He's wanting to bring them to a place of blessing and prosperity, but he's telling them, I already know that your tendency is to not be faithful or to walk away. I already know, but I'm pleading with you, stick with me. Love me because I love you. Stay in my presence because that is where the blessing is at. That is where you will prosper. That's where you will thrive. Says, if any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. God is
prophesying and speaking this thing, saying, listen, I know that your tendency is to walk away, or I know that your tendency is to, you know, in the moment of, oh, hey, we could build a golden calf and worship that. We could, you know, go along with, you know, what the people of the beliefs of the town that we live or that now we've conquered, and we're gonna just bring a little bit of that in. And we're saying this is Old Testament. You're like, okay, yeah, but like this is us today too. It may not be the golden calf. It may not be that we go and conquer a land and allow their culture to invade our Christianity and say, you know, change us that much. But our culture can change us if we're not careful, if we're not spending time with God. We can start to worship or idolize different things that take us away from God. And God's saying, just like these people here in Israel that he's trying to bring forth and to do great things with, he says, I want to do great things with you, in you, and for you. He says, please understand that you have to be with me. Trust me. Stick to what I have for you, and don't get swayed to or fro, and listen to the commandments that I've given you. And this Bible, the way that I've instructed you, read it, spend time in it, and don't just read it, but trust it and obey it. Sometimes we're like, oh, that's a good scripture, but, you know, I mean, that's tough, so I'm going to do it my own way. Or, you know, it's not that bad to get involved in this thing or that thing, because no, you don't understand. Even the littlest thing can bring you to a place that you've gone far away from me. He says, I want you to stay with me in my presence, loving me. He's like, I want to bring you back, even if it's the third time. But I prefer that you stay with me the whole time and not have to come back. That's why I'm speaking. This is what he's like, I'm speaking this, and I realize that you have the tendency to walk away or trust in your own creation or what you can do for yourself. He's like, but I would prefer that you stay with me the whole time, but I will come back for you. So in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, he says, see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply. How do you thrive? How do you live and multiply and do great things? Keeping his commandments. See, this isn't, it's not a dictator wanting just wanting people to slave away for him. He's not a mean father that just wants, you know, you to bring him a soda while he's laying on the couch and does nothing. That's not who God is, and that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm a good father, I'm a good God, and I want great things for you, and I've called you to great things, each and every one of you. And that's what hopefully you'll see with Nehemiah too, because he wasn't the guy you would have thought about that brought peace to his people. Like, you know, you're thinking, who's going to rebuild the wall? Who's going to be the leader? And it probably wasn't going to be Nehemiah if you looked around. Some of us today, we say, well, you know, that, you know, the pastor or this guy or that guy, they've got it all together. They've got everything they need to go do great things. We diminish the call of God on our lives or what God wants to do through us. But I'm saying to you today that each and every one of us are called to great things. Doesn't matter who you are, what your name is. If your name's Mikey, if your name's Mike, if your name's Dante or Dan or Tori, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you came from. Say, oh, well, they were set up. Their family had, you know, this all together, and they just were thrown right into it. It was just all prepared for them. And I'm telling you, that doesn't matter. It's not about having things together before God uses you. It's not that you are a certain name or part of society. God doesn't look at those things. He looks at you and says, I love you and I've called you to great things. He says, my heart is for you. For you to be in relationship with me, he says, and to do wonderful things with me, no matter who you are. In verse 17, it says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. See, God's about restoration. He's a God of restoration. He wants each and every one of us to live in him with his ability, with his strength. And he's telling us right here the formula for success. Trusting him, following the things that he's laid out for us, the will that he has for our lives, and trusting him and not getting out ahead of him. It's like, follow my commandments, the things that I've told you. Sometimes, you know, it could be a little difficult, but it's not hard to stay in his presence if we're just willing to do it. And that's kind of the background. So the people of God, these wonderful people that God was doing great things with, that they had fallen into disarray. And God had spoken this to them, that this is what's going to happen. If you don't trust me, if you don't follow the things that I've commanded you, if you don't spend time with me, if you allow your time with the world or with the things going on around you to get more important than me, it's just going to be your tendency to walk in your own strength or the world's strength and get off track. But if you stay with me, you'll be right where you need to be in the right time, the right place. When the door opens, you'll have the success that I've called you to in whatever it is. That's what God has called each and every one of us to. So we get to Nehemiah, and he's in this place where he's serving the king, and his people are in disarray, and he hasn't found out yet. So he's just doing a good work. He's serving the king. He's the cupbearer. He brings him his wine. Not the most influential place, but he has a place at the king's table to be there with him and around him. But like I said, when you read the rest of the book and you think, gosh, this guy wasn't the city planner. He wasn't the politician. He wasn't, you know, this structural engineer, this builder. Like, how did this happen? How did this man that seemingly would just had a normal job and living a good life turn into the person that brought peace to the people of Israel? That rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. How did this happen? I don't know about you, but I think that. And you know how I relate that to my life? I think, God, I know that I may not have all the strength to do everything that you've called me to. God, I may not be the best leader, I hope, to learn and grow in leadership or be the best pastor or the best preacher. Oh, you guys, you're supposed to say, yes, you are. You so, but what happened? That's what our minds go to is like, well, I mean, I don't have, or I haven't learned, or I haven't been put in this place. And God says, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. All that matters is if you're in the place where I am. Just be where I am. Follow me and spend time with me, and it's going to be the right place, the right time, and you will have everything you need. But what we learn from Nehemiah is that he didn't rush out in his own strength. He didn't rush. He proceeded slowly. It wasn't procrastination. I'm not talking about procrastination like hey, psh, God, do something in my life, but I'm going to sit here and just do nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about staying in the will of God, doing a good work. See, the thing that happened was that Nehemiah, he was working. He didn't stop working. He didn't, you know, run away to help rebuild the temple as soon as he heard that something was going on. What he did was he did the same thing he did every day. But because of his burden and his passion and his life with God, the prayer life and the spending time, the fasting and praying, he was moved and allowed place for God to do something in his life. In Nehemiah 1, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in the month of Chisli, in the 12th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with me from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'The survivors who are left from captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire.'" So he gets this news, this cupbearer to the king, this guy that's got a good job, but it's just a job, you know? He's not, like I said, the politician, the strong leader. It's not that he's got it all together. But what happens now is he hears this news about the people of Israel and the walls of Jerusalem, that they're in disarray. They've been torn down. It's been burned. And the people are scattered all over the place. And all of a sudden in him is this burden, this passion, this thing in him that says, this is not right. It's not right that the walls of Jerusalem be torn down and that they're burned. It's not right that the people of Israel are scattered all over the place and aren't being treated well. This stuff isn't right. And he's got this burden. So what does he do? In verse 4 it says, "So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." The first thing he did was fasted and prayed. There was a burden on his heart. So many times we can say, "Oh, this isn't right. I got to do something about it," and run out. And I'm not saying don't go help people or don't step out and do great things. I'm saying, are you in the will of God? When God wants us to do something, he will lead us into it. But are we in the place where we're hearing his words? Where we're hearing exactly what he wants us to do, when he wants us to do it, and are his words clear, crystal clear to us in these moments? And I submit to you that the reason that Nehemiah was able to accomplish these great things, the reason that he had such a burden in this moment, there was lots of other people that knew the same information, that loved God, that wanted the walls to be rebuilt, that didn't like living in distant lands or that they didn't have the place that God had called them to. There was lots of people. But why Nehemiah? Why was it him? And I would just say to you that I believe it's because of his relationship with God that he spent so much time with God. That like the first thing in every different situation throughout this first and second chapter, it's, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I wept, and I had this burden because he was spending so much time with God. Because his relationship with God allowed him to hear of the trouble that Israel had, that Jerusalem was in ruins, and not just hear it and walk away, and not to hear it and rush out and try to fix it himself, but to hear it and say, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever your will is, I will do it. And you know what he did? He fasted, he prayed, and you know what he prayed? He said, God, I know that you're a good God, and you have promised. He's remembering these things that God has said back in the earlier part of the New Testament. He's like, you've promised and you've declared to your people that you will take care of them, that you will save them, that you'll be their God. You'll be their Savior. That you don't want them to live in slavery or in ruins, God. That if we are with you and love you, that you will bring us back to the promised land. Sometimes we need to remind God, not for him, but for ourselves. I think in this moment, he's repeating these things. It's God knows. But what he's doing, I believe, is he's saying, God, I know too. I know who you are. I know what you've said. And I've spent so much time with you that I'm willing and ready to hear exactly what you want to say right now too. God, use me. I'm ready. And he sought God. He sought the will of God. He sought what God wanted, not what he wanted. Not for him to be a ruler or to be somebody put up on a pedestal, but just to help people. And God wants us to walk the same way. We're all called to different things, but we're all called to something. God's got something for each and every one of us. He says, I've called you to help people, to help people know me. That's the calling that all of us have. It may be a different way for me to move forward in God than it is for you, but we've all been called to do that. Every single one of us. And God says, spend time with me so I can speak these things to you. So that when I'm ready, you're ready. So that when I speak, you hear and you know what I'm about to do. So Nehemiah, you know that he actually took these things to God in prayer and was dealing with them in his heart and his mind for months. And for you, maybe it's been months, maybe it's been years, and maybe it feels like we've been waiting a long time, but can we trust that God is the one who is going to work things out and not us? Can we trust that he is that good God that he said he is, that he does believe in us and he wants to use us and that he's called us to great things, but can we trust that he will work these things out in his time? Sometimes we blame things on God, but God's like, well, yeah, but I spoke it last week and you didn't hear me because you haven't been spending time with me. Sometimes we go out and God says, but I didn't speak it yet. I wanted you to wait a little bit longer. There's so many different scenarios, but God's saying, hey, can you just spend time with me and let's just move together? I've got great things for your life. Wait for me and go with me. Nehemiah 2, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Now think about it, this moment, this is the king. And this gives you a picture of, he wasn't this guy that could tell the king what to do or gave him advice or ask him, hey, do this for me, king. That's not who he was or what he could do. So he gets to this moment, but this moment is a God moment because he had just spent time with God and seeking God and calling on God, saying, God, I want your will. I have this burden for the people of Israel and for the walls of Jerusalem. I have this burden for things to be better. But what I'm going to do about it is I'm going to spend time with you and trust you. And if you call me, I'll go. If you tell me to do it, I'll do it. And he waited for what God had for him. So he gets to this moment where the king says, you're not sick. Why are you sad? And I believe because he had spent so much time with God in prayer and just asking God to do something and submitting this burden to God, that in this moment, because he had spent that time, that God allowed that burden to be placed on the king also. There's no way that he could ask the king to do all this stuff. Because you know what he asked him? He said, hey, write me some letters that I can give to the rulers of the lands that I'm walking through, that I'm going through, so that I can be protected. Ask this person to give me the wood so I could rebuild the walls and the temple, that I can rebuild the doors, and all this stuff is burned. You know, can you just provide me the wood and all this great stuff so that I can do these things for my people? And the king did. He did. How does that happen? Because he allowed that burden not to be squandered. He didn't squander it himself. He didn't move forward in his own strength. He didn't run out, or he didn't throw it away. What he did was he submitted it to God. And God held that burden. And God allowed the king to feel that burden also. In our lives, whenever there's something going on, we need healing, something's going on in our family, maybe in the workplace, there's all kinds of craziness, right? All over. We have a burden for restoration or for somebody in our family to come to know Christ. There's all these different things. And what I'm saying here is I see in Nehemiah that if we carry that and place it with God and don't place it anywhere else, don't place your trust in the world, don't place your trust in yourself, but spending time in God, and God will take that burden and open the door for something to happen in your life. The only way that this happens, this thing right here where the king's like, yeah, tell me what you need. I'll do it. Cupbearer. You know, guy that just serves me all the time. How can I serve you? Do you think that was going to happen? If it wasn't God doing this great thing, it was him. Because Nehemiah had spent so much time with him. Nehemiah said, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask you to send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. The very thing he had longed for, the very thing that he had this burden for so long, now was brought to this moment of fruition where finally he could move forward in it. But because he didn't try on his own to make something happen, I believe that God had given him everything that he needed when he needed it, right at the right time. Like I said, he wasn't a master builder. He wasn't a political leader. He didn't have the degrees to do all these things. All he had was God. But in this moment, God gave him what he needed. I don't know about you, but I think this is the most amazing thing. I've heard so many different times about men and women now in our day that are having an issue, maybe in their family. And there's a great story about this guy in his workplace, this huge printing press that fills a building, and something's wrong. And the whole thing is shut down. His company's losing money, and he's just one of the guys that kind of walks around and makes sure things are going well and maybe fixes little things here and there. And the whole thing shut down, and the bosses are just frustrated, and they can't figure it out. But this guy knew God. This guy knew God and spent time with him. And he took a little bit of time and said, God, I know that you want the best for me, and that if you're willing, that you'll give me the knowledge to figure out what's wrong with this machine, this printing press, and you'll help me to fix this. And you know what? He had this thought right after that. He said, just that if I open that panel, I think that there's something right behind there, something wrong, and a little bitty piece. And it was this tiny little piece that had come, you know, out of sync with the rest of it, that it would have never been found. But God gave him the knowledge in that moment, the understanding to know exactly what was wrong. He spoke to him. He saw the thing that needed to happen. And that's what's happening right here with Nehemiah. But why do those things happen? They happen because of our relationship and our time with God. That it doesn't matter what we know, although we need to study. It doesn't matter how strong we are, although we need to grow stronger. The most important thing is having a pure and loving, committed relationship with our Heavenly Father, spending time with Him, knowing who He is and knowing when He's speaking and being able to hear it. So we'll talk in the next couple of weeks about Nehemiah moving forward and doing all these great things. Now we're talking a lot about heart right now, his burden, his heart, and that he was open to what God had for him. But he didn't just say, okay, God, I know you're going to do something and let somebody else do it. He said, I am going to be a part of the solution. And he let God lead him into this great moment in his life. But all these things happen. If you will, let me give you a little story. I went to on a camping trip with my son. And in this moment where it was like pitch black out, like way out far, and these cabins, and they wouldn't let us bring flashlights. They wouldn't let anybody bring phones. And they said, we're just going to go out and walk out into the wilderness. And all these kids were like, I can't see. I can't see. And I was like, I can't see. I can't see. And it's like pitch black. And you're like, what is going on? How do they want us to walk around and have this nature moment in the dark, in the pitch black? They said, just wait. As you stay here in this moment, as you spend time, your eyes will adjust and things will start to become clearer to you. So we stay there, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, hey, I see the tree. I see little critters walking on the ground. Hey, there's my son. Good to see you. Couldn't find you just a second ago. And all of a sudden, you know, your eyes are adjusting and seeing more. You can see the trees. You can see the stars. You can see the pathway through the woods. All these things that you couldn't see before. And it's just this, I don't know about you, but this perfectly explains and helps me to see how spending time with God, spending time in prayer, and this is where, you know, you see Nehemiah over and over, and I prayed. And when the king came to him and said, what do you want? He said, I prayed. In that moment, it wasn't even I'm going to get down on my knees for 30 minutes. and figure out what God wants. But because he had been spending so much time with God and so much time in prayer and every moment that he could praying, God, I love you. You want good for me. You want good for your people. Use me. Speak through me. I'm just ready to do your will, and I'm waiting for you. I'm not going out on my own. And he's spending so much time. And in the moment, he says, and I prayed right there in front of the king. But it didn't have to be this long, drawn-out prayer because he spent so much time. All of a sudden, he's just, I imagine, he's talking to the king, and under his breath, he's just like, God, help me to know what you want right now. And all of a sudden, God's unlocking these things for him. And the understanding is coming to his mind right there in the moment. But not because he prayed in that moment, but because he prayed for the months before that. Because he spent time with God for the months before that, saying, God, all I want is what you want. All I need is what you need. Just use me. I'm ready and willing. So in this moment, I'm on this camping trip, and all of a sudden, I'm in the pitch black. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait, it's lighter. Is the sun coming up? It's getting so light. I can see. We can walk down the trail. We walked all around up to the side of a hill and looked out and saw the stars and the side of the hill and the trees and all the things. You could see all the kids all around. And once it was pitch black. But because we had spent that time. And I believe that's what Nehemiah is teaching us here. It is, as we read this story, that God wants to do great things in our life. He's ready and willing to speak to you, to guide you, tell you exactly what you need to do to move forward. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's with your family and restoration, with your kids or them coming to God. And so many different things. And if we spend time with him, the first time, you know, maybe you're like, I think maybe God spoke something to me, but the spending more time the next day, spending more time the next day, you spend time in God with God every day, spending more time. And look, my dad tells a story about spending time with God in prayer and feeling bad because other pastors are spending more time in prayer. And then he realized that it wasn't about just the closing the door to your bedroom, spending time on the floor, but continually being with God in prayer throughout your day and walking with him and not allowing your mind to get off on all these other things, but just allowing him to be with you throughout the day also. And that's what Nehemiah was doing. He's in front of the king, and the king asked him. But because he had spent that time, like me on that camping trip, he had allowed his spirit to get adjusted to what God was speaking. It wasn't dark anymore in his spirit. As soon as the king said, "What can I do?" he knew the answer because it was clear. And that is what God is calling each of us to. You say, "God, I know you have something great for my life, but what am I going to do? How do I do it? I have this burden." He's saying, "I know you do. Allow me to hold on to that burden with you. Spend time with me in things that I'm saying, ways that I'm wanting to move with you, things that I want you to do will be more and more clear. But don't run out ahead of me. Don't run out in your own strength, or don't try to get somebody else to bring this thing to pass for you. But wait for the moment that I have for you. Wait for that moment of clarity, that moment when I opened the door, like Nehemiah with the king. It was the moment that God opened the door for something to happen. And he was ready. And he moved in. How was he there? Because he spent time with God, and he waited for the moment that God opened up for him. Amen? Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.